Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in and listening tonight. We have a lot of news going on in the Middle East. We've got a lot going on in the United States, and the coups and counter coups of Trump and deep state and all that stuff that's going on. It's kind of interesting. And anyway, hey, we got Larry. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Just sitting up here using the dickens out of those binoculars today.
Yeah, a lot going on. I want to read an email I got because I think it's pertinent, and I don't even know, as I told Larry before we even got on the air, actually this afternoon, I'm not sure how you respond to something like this, but it seems to be typical of what's going on in America, and especially among the Christians. Let me read this. Using Psalm 2 for your stance is nonsense, because you can't prove that this chapter speaks to any time but the time it was written in. And there were good godly kings throughout Old Testament times. Well, of course, there's good godly kings often. There are benevolent kings, and there are, how do we call them, Larry? Not so benevolent, maybe. And then he says, are you a cessationist? In other words, would I secede from the Union? I guess. Do you question Trump's salvation? Trump's salvation is none of my business. I don't care. I would hope and pray that he is, but it's not my business. So from that viewpoint, it's not worthy of discussing. And this is another subject for discussion and would peg your real reason for disagreeing. Evidently, disagreeing with your brother in the Lord is somehow now degenerates into a real fight. I'd like to apologize on the air to Augusto if he felt in any way that I attacked him. That was not the case. What I was doing was, if you recall the program that Larry and I and Augusto did, I did not spend much time telling people why I believe what I did. So I wrote a blog trying to explain and bring scripture into it to prove it. And I brought up what Mark Taylor is saying and Mike Adams is saying. And I just don't agree at all that we should give Donald Trump or anyone full dictatorial powers. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. You should listen to some of the comments that Donald Trump actually makes. And basically what he's saying is, I am the only one who can solve all this. Nobody else can. Nobody's smarter than I am. Blah, 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 blah. Well, hopefully he's right. I don't think so. And so I have to give the warning that you don't give that kind of power unto anyone, and especially when we know that the New World Order boys and girls have for over 100 years planned how to bring about martial law, destroy the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and round up and kill Christians, which is their target. That's why I mentioned Psalm 2. It's a target. And I want to read this because of what was said here. And it scares me when I get your stance is nonsense because you can't prove that this chapter speaks of any time but the time it was written in. My Lord, friend, read Psalm 2. It is about the time of the end. It is about the wrath of God because the kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers have taken counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, Jesus Christ, really, and his followers. Let's break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. What does it say? He that sits in the heavens will laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision, and he will speak to them in his wrath. What's the wrath of God? The tribulation period, Daniel's 70th week. That's when he pours out his issues that he has with Israel in the time of Jacob's trouble, and he deals with the unbelieving remnants of all nations. This is not going to be a pleasant time. It's going to be an awful time, a horrific time. And I have not heard the word repentance anywhere. Have you, Larry? I just haven't heard it. And if a nation will not repent, it cannot be healed. And if a nation is so apostate, it does not even know what repentance is, how can it repent? It can't. That's what happens when you reject God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And America has fully rejected it. And unfortunately, the vast majority of Christians have rejected what Jesus Christ told them to do. They have redacted the very words of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, walk the narrow way unto life, few there be that find it. That's all been redacted. There is no narrow way. There is no straight gate anymore. Jesus warned about broad way theology. Easy, simple. Say a simple prayer. That's it. You're in. Not according to Jesus Christ himself. They have redacted all of this. The words of Christ himself, as he spoke them, have been redacted. You're not going to be healed. That's another thing that I read in Mark Taylor's book. I don't consider him a true prophet. I'm not saying he's not got a lot of accurate information. But he's also made comments that just do not jibe with the Bible. He says, for example, Mary's going to be healed. It's not what the Bible says. Bible says just the opposite. We would have healed Babylon, but she will not be healed. Well, I'm going to choose to believe the Lord. Anyway, enough of that. I want to read something here before Larry and I get into what's really going on around the world, because we are headed, it looks like, into direct war here very, very soon. This comes from Habakkuk. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. So in other words, we're in an area of time now where there isn't any judgment. Everything that the wicked do, and we've got a good example of that in Washington. Anyway, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I rise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat, and they shall come all for violence. Their face shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God, little g. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. What was Cyrus? What was he brought here for? Judgment. Correction. To bring Israel up. Anyway. Larry, what's the latest? Because I think this is... I think this is referring actually to the United States, NATO, and it's an aerial bombardment. There are other prophecies that absolutely coincide with it. And for whatever reason, we get involved in a huge, huge war over there. And we get sick of it, evidently. Something happens that gets Trump absolutely furious. Anyway, that's my take. I don't know if that's your take, but... What's going on here with this missile launches and everything else that they're doing over there? Can you bring us up to date?
Yeah, it's very interesting. If you'll remember, we can go back real quick to a post that I recently made. Here it is. It's matter of fact, Hal Turner posted it. Days ago, and it said the Syrian foreign minister, Walid Malan, announced his ultimatum. U.S., French, and Turkish troops must leave Syria immediately. And at the same time, we know there was an attack. About that same time, there was an attack on, you know, the Revolutionary Guard parade there in Iran. And, of course, they immediately came out and said, well, you know, this is the work of Israel and the United States and et cetera, et cetera. And, but at the same time, we're having the big push, it seems, of Russia and the Iranians, Hezbollah, Hamas, you know, the Syrians, the Iranians and all, moving against the Western forces and Israel, of course. And while this is ongoing, today, ironically, Iran launched, according to the DEPA file, now the other reports don't indicate how many missiles, but DEPA file reports that Iran, and I'll just read that real quick. It says, the DEPA file says that Iran quickly launched eight ballistic missiles from Iran into eastern Syria. Now, with that going, Hal Turner posted some really interesting information, and he basically said that Iran launches missiles towards U.S. base in Syria, actually the Al-Tamp, and we've talked about that before, you know, that's where the
yes.
U.S. military base is. It says U.S. base near eastern desert of Syria. And then... you know, there were reports, and of course, Hal Turner, he has insiders, and they contacted him and said it was eerily quiet within the Pentagon and the U.S. or the White House about this attack, and extremely quiet inside Israel about this attack. And he said that is very dangerous, because instead of coming out and blasting them for firing those missiles, the silence is telling, if you will. And
yes.
Hal Turner says this is a very dangerous moment for the world. And he says, will war begin next? And, of course, what's interesting too, and I've thought of Daniel 8, and I'd like your opinion on this. What came out today also by Hal Turner said, Brigadier Iranian Brigadier General Salami warns, you have never seen our revenge before. We promise that our response will be crushing and devastating, and you'll regret what you have done. And so anyway, that reminded me a lot, Stuart, of Daniel 8. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Daniel 8 indicates that Iran goes forth in a blitzerig of all directions, basically. I don't know. Maybe they get so mad they figure, let's go for it, boys and girls. And so they put everything they've got into it. And there's a fellow, a rabbi over in Israel, has done a lot of research, spent a lot of time trying to figure out what Daniel 8 is and who's involved. His conclusion was that the United States is the he-goat that comes against the ram and all but neutralizes the ram. Now, I just read you Habakkuk and how they come from far. And it says there in Daniel 8 that the he-goat doesn't even touch the ground. It's an aerial invasion. In other words, they're using cruise missiles, probably bombers, fighter jets, but it's not really a land-based war. It is a war of modern technology, basically. And I don't know if we bring out our TR-3Bs and all of the advanced technology we have, but if they're going to poke off, you know, when you start poking Donald Trump in the eye, it's not a very smart thing to do. So if Iran decides they're going to do this and they wax themselves towards Israel, I think we will definitely get involved, probably along with NATO, England, and whoever over there in Europe. But definitely it would be the United States. And if you read Isaiah chapter 17, as we have discussed previously, it says that Damascus is destroyed because of the children of Israel. Well, we are the children of Israel, basically. A lot of people are not aware of it, but the Supreme Court ruled back in the 1800s that we were actually a Christian nation. Now, I can't say we are anymore. In fact, I'd have to say when Obama declared we are not any longer a Christian nation, probably right. I hate to say that, but that's basically the truth. Unfortunately, it's a very hard truth, but we've got too many people here that have totally rejected anything the Bible has to say. They hate the Bible. They hate what it says. They will not tolerate it. They hate Christians. They won't tolerate them either. You can't even use the word Jesus Christ in the workplace or you get slammed or fired for it. On and on and on it goes, and yet because of that, God takes a very, very dim view of America, and that's something people just don't want to accept. However, we're going to play the righteous card, so to speak, in this attack. However, we have to point out, and I know Larry agrees with this, we have no legal standing whatsoever to be in Syria uninvited. We are in violation of international law. And this is where this war, it seems to me, I don't know what you think, Larry, is probably going to start with this Syrian situation somehow. And if because of the Syrian situation and Israeli attacks in Syria, and if this escalates any further than it has already, Iran might not have any choice but to go forth. We mentioned sanctions. I think when you and I and Augusto were on the other day, or even before that we use sanctions to get Japan to attack. And we're doing the same thing over again. If you have enough sanctions on a nation and you squeeze that nation to the point where they're going to collapse, what choice do they have? I believe Habakkuk is talking about basically Antichrist and the United States and its allies in that whole thing. It's talking about the West and their attempts to dominate the world. And I'm sure Putin and China have gotten together and said, why should they be the leaders of the New World Order? Why can't we be the leaders of the New World Order? It all goes back to the fall of mankind, folks. Mankind's a fallen creature. All it does is know how to fight, lie, cheat, steal. That's who we are. That's what humanity is. And if it isn't so, then Jesus Christ made a big mistake coming down here to bail out somebody that doesn't need to be bailed out. We are either fallen or we're not. Either he is the redeemer of all or he is not. There's no middle ground. There's no, how do I say this? You don't give an inch on this because it's either true or it's not true at all. And I think what has happened here in America because of apostasy and the church leaders, they don't even like biblical prophecy. They hardly even mention it. So they don't confront their parishioners with this kind of stuff. You either in or you're out. George Bush more or less said, you're either with us or you're not. I didn't agree the way he handled it and what he said, but from a Christian viewpoint, Jesus more or less said the same thing. You're either in or you're out. You're either with me or you're not. There's no middle ground here. You can't be lukewarm. You might as well be cold and be my enemy. I'd rather have you do that than sit there and claim you are when you're not, and you're hot. You're supposed to be hot. Repent, in the Revelation news and the letters to the churches. Repent, 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 repent. I never hear that word. Didn't hear it with Florence. I didn't hear it with the three hurricanes that struck the United States of America after the solar eclipse. You just don't hear that word. And we're going to go forth, and we're going to get involved in a war, and I don't think it's going to turn out that well for the Middle East. That's my take. And I think when it says something about in the book of Revelation that Gentiles take, the outer court and they take Jerusalem, we're going to set up an international system with Israel after this whole mess develops. That's us. I was listening to Israel News Live the other day. Had a beautiful rendition and briefing about the Vatican and how secret deals have been made and all of this stuff that's really going on behind the scenes. Fascinating stuff. But with this war, it's coming, don't you think, Larry? I mean, I think we're on the very edge. One mistake, and we're in.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting where this is going to. As a matter of fact, Syria has called for, the U.S. and its allies to leave Syria. They have no legal right to be in Syria. And oddly enough, after that call today, the U.S. troops, from what I'm reading, has hooked up now with the invasion from Turkey, and they're both in Syria now, the U.S. troops and Turkish troops, and now they're working together. In other words, you've got a U.S. troop standing beside a Turkish troop, and we're all aware that Erdogan's playing both sides. In other words,
yep.
Turkey is playing both sides of this affair, yet here we are, hooking up with Turkey. Of course, I guess that gives us a little NATO cover, maybe. But ironically, just like you said, you know, in your prep for the show, you mentioned, as a matter of fact, at the end of it, you said, "Calm before the storm." And I was listening to Ben Danoon from Israeli News Live today, a very, very interesting report coming out of the Middle East. And he says, "Calm before the storm." He says, as Israel preps to strike Damascus. And then he also made an interesting note. He said two things. He says Russia, Iran, and Syria have crossed
the red line that Israel set as far as the S-300 missile defense systems, that has already been crossed now. And he says what is shocking and chilling is that Israel and the U.S. are totally silent. And he says, so all I can infer from that is they are prepping and readying for an attack. And he seems to think that Israel is going to really focus on Damascus in a massive attack, and that Israel and the U.S. and Saudi Arabia will attack Iran. Now, what is Russia going to do during this? I don't have a clue. But very interestingly, too, we do know in the last week that they fired more missiles. The Iranians fired missiles out of Yemen, you know, at Saudi Arabia again. And by the way, today, the Saudi Navy sunk a couple of explosion boats that were sent out into the region there towards some of the shipping. So this thing it seems to be growing and getting hotter by the day. And that's what's so ironic, I find, is the fact that if you just watch mainstream media, I mean, that's all you watch in America, mainstream media. Well, you absolutely wouldn't have a clue there was any danger anywhere but other than Donald Trump or Brett Kavanaugh. That's the dangers the whole world faces today.
Yeah, and, you know, I was reading that ne'er-do-well Sorcha Fall, where she says, and I believe she's probably right, she says Putin is trying to figure out whether Donald Trump's going to survive this or not. And so he is, in her article, I think she said that they have moved all of their nuclear weapons to their strategic points and may have to leave them there until all of this is settled down again. Because nobody knows. Is Trump going to be assassinated? Are they going to impeach him? Is he coming in like a flood? In November, are we going to have a red wave, or are we going to have a blue wave? I can't imagine deep state not trying to fix these elections. They're on the edge here. It doesn't matter whether Trump is for real or not for real. He's not in a good place. And deep state is fighting back. It doesn't even matter if it's staged or not. You know, these things can go haywire over a mistake. It's kind of like you have said many times, Netanyahu is a wild card, Trump's a wild card, and actually Putin is a wild card. They're supposed to play by the rules. They're supposed to play by the script. But when it comes right down to it, they may not play by the script at all. And Trump assuredly probably would not play by the script. In fact, I think I was watching a TV thing where they were saying that Trump is totally unpredictable. And really nobody knows exactly what his plan is. And he openly said militarily he's never going to tell us what he's going to do or when he's going to do it or how he's going to do it. And we cannot forget North Korea. They're still doing their thing. So here we are. The world is basically arming itself to the teeth. And when Satan decides that, and the Lord allows it, okay, boys, have at it. We're probably going to read about it, watch it on TV, or wake up one morning and everything in the world has changed. Here's that thing you were talking about. Iran reportedly bombs ISIS positions in eastern Euphrates with long-range ballistic missiles from the Kermanshah province, and one of the missiles allegedly landed near a U.S. military base. They traveled over 700 miles from the territory of Iran, completely over Iraq, before striking what it is said to be very good accuracy near the U.S. airbase at El Tamth, I guess you call it, Syria. What do you make of that, Larry? I mean, that is almost like giving a poke in Trump's eyes a little bit, saying, ha, 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 what do you think of that? It's like kicking a sleeping dog, not too smart.
Well, what I think of it, Stuart, is it's very dangerous because of the fact that I haven't posted it, but I saw photographs yesterday where our carrier group down near the Strait of Hormuz, that they actually, Iran was probing our carrier group with those naval boats they've got, those missile boats, and they were way too close. I mean, way too close for comfort. But, you know, I've got to think, with Iran doing all this probing and pushing and threatening, I think they underestimate Trump. Because if you'll remember what Trump told them? He said, don't test me. And that's exactly
yes.
what they're doing. And that's exactly why I think what Hal Turner said is right and what Ben DeNoon said was right. Our Trump's silence and Netanyahu's silence is telling.
Well, Putin's been relatively silent too, has he not, about this whole thing that's going down right now? It seems like they're all very silent. Maybe nobody dares push the button yet.
Well, I think that the Debka File recent post, it says Russia ramps up anti-Israel measures, pushing Israel, says readying for possible war of attrition. Says using hostile steps, and this is what's telling. It says Putin is using Russian actions against Israel in an attempt to stall Netanyahu's move to rid Syria of Iranians. So if Putin is bullying, if you will, Israel right now with his massive military to stop Netanyahu and Israel from striking Syria, they may miscalculate, and that's why maybe Damascus ceases to exist.
Well, in my opinion, I don't see how Israel could launch any attack without taking out Damascus. I think they have to. Have you heard whether they've removed all those chemical warheads and germ warfare warheads that were all around Damascus? Remember 3, 4, 5 years ago? We heard all about those. They're pretty much still there, are they not?
No, there's conflicting stories. I don't know whether they've removed them or partially removed them or if the whole thing was a hoax. I don't know. You know, we just don't have the data.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, getting back to this article on multiple sources confirmed that the U.S. base was not hit and was allegedly not the intended target. However, a whole slew of chatter is now taking place in the Pentagon as to whether or not this will be portrayed as an Iranian attack upon the United States military in Syria, thereby opening the door to war with Iran that some in the United States seem to desperately want. And, of course, that would be deep state. I really don't think that Putin wants war, Netanyahu really wants war, and I'm sure Trump doesn't either. I think they already know what this means if we get into a war. Sources in multiple positions to actually know are telling me this is the mistake that they have been waiting for Iran to make. Right now, this very minute, is very dangerous moment for the world. If dishonest people inside the government, U.S. government, portray this as an Iranian missile launch against U.S. forces, war will be next. So here we go. If that, hopefully, cooler heads prevail, and that doesn't happen. What else do we have going on over there other than warnings and counter-warnings?
Well, plenty of that, but at the same time, over here, it's very interesting. Hal Turner also posted, and I checked, and it appears to be valid. I saw the actual paperwork. It says the gloves come off. It says Attorney General Jeff Sessions received Congress subpoena for October the 4th, 2018. So October the 3rd, we've got a presidential message going out on the emergency broadcast system. And October the 4th, Sessions, if he shows up, should be sitting before Congress giving an account of why he refuses to release any of the Russia collusion data.
Wow. I wonder if he'll even show up. It seems like they're totally lawless. They don't pay any attention to anything. They just do what they want. And, of course, Trump, I've been hearing all these reports that all these arrest warrants are going out, that all these tribunals or whatever you want to call those, the courts, you know, the can't think of the word of it now, but that all these arrest warrants have been issued, and thousands upon thousands of people are going to be rounded up. For the last, I would say, year and a half to almost 2 years, ever since Trump was in office, we've been hearing that. And I don't see any action on it. So I don't know whether that's true or not. So I guess we all have to just wait and see whether this is actually going to take place or not. It bothers me, as I've said many times, that Hillary is still walking around like absolutely nothing is going to be happening to her. Why not? They already have the evidence. They have the evidence on all these people, and I'm sure that's why Sessions doesn't really want to go before Congress. If he has to produce unredacted all this stuff, maybe a lot of them are going to go to prison. But so far, I have to say, I haven't seen that. What do you think? Do you think they actually are going to move against these people? Or is this just a sham to keep us busy while they do something else?
Well, from what I can tell, I would have to say that if they don't move sooner or later against these people, their time is up or very limited. I'll put it that way. But by the way, there's a new book out by Tucker Carlson. I kind of like him. It's called, you'll like the title. It's called Ship of Fools, How a Selfish Ruling Class. Yeah, how a selfish ruling class is bringing America to the brink of revolution. Now, the reason I kind of told that is because that's the truth. That book is coming out. But
yes,
there's a new Barry Rothman code, Stuart. You ready?
Yes. Go.
Really, really interesting because it falls into play following Jeff Flake pretty much betraying the GOP, which, you know, I wasn't shocked. You know,
no.
I can listen to Flake. I've been listening to Flake a long time, and as some people say, Flakey is as Flakey does. And I could tell that he's not a Republican. He's a Democrat. He's just playing like he's a Republican. But listen to this. This is, matter of fact, it's under construction right now by Barry Rothman, and the date of it is he began it on September the 30th, 2018, with the question, is Jeff Flake part of Russian Obama Mueller plot? And let me read these six points or areas of the matrix and then get your opinion. Number one, Jeff Flake. Number two, Obama. Number three, Russian. Number four, Mueller. Number five, Comey. Number six, I love this. This kind of ties in with what you started the show with, Stuart. It says, number six, in the end of days. In other words, all those folks above are connected in a matrix that happens in the end of days. What do you think?
Yep, absolutely. Boy, that sounds like this, how do we say, collusion.
Yeah.
That sounds like a tremendous amount of collusion to me. And we know what the end result is supposed to be as far as they're concerned. Number one, we don't put Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. We slow everything down. We smell blood in the elections. And as soon as we are elected, we will undo everything Trump has done, and we'll go back to what Obama was attempting to do and Hillary was supposed to finish. That's the plan. The plan of deep state is to destroy the United States, bring us under martial law by any means possible, which is probably revolution, false flag, whatever you want to call it, and then have things so chaotic that the people basically are screaming for martial law. This is what the protocols of the elders of Zion said. they wanted to do. I don't see any change. Doesn't matter whether Trump or who it is. Basically, it seems to me like the plan keeps going. It's like people will elect Republicans. Oh, they're going to change things. Then they elect the Democrats. Well, they're going to change things. Meanwhile, they put the same people in Congress over and over and over again. And they think we're going to get a different result. This is all about the New World Order. There isn't a two-party system in the United States, folks. It's a one-party system with two heads and one pair of legs, and they're walking towards the New World Order. And frankly, they don't care who they hurt, how many people they have to kill or destroy to bring it in. And I guess war, like what Larry's been showing us is going on over there, seems to be maybe one of the methods they're going to use. What do you think, Larry? I mean, this whole thing is a sham.
Yeah, it's incredible. You know, like you were, it's interesting that you were saying that, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans and the deep state and the globalists are bringing us to the point of revolution or civil war or both or martial law. So, therefore, you know, I look at it like, well, if Trump's in office when all this comes about, they brought it.
Yes.
What's the difference? Who cares who's the dictator? It doesn't really matter. If this is where we're going, then this is where we're going.
Yeah, and I think that's something that the American people are in denial about. We are going there. We've been going there for the last 100 years, right out in the open, basically. It may appear to be a two-party system, but it really isn't. It's a one-party system headed towards the New World Order. And why is that? And why don't they care what your vote is? Well, folks, they don't care what you think. And they don't care how many votes you cast. It's not run that way. It's run by money. Remember what the mark of the beast is. It's the apex of a monetary system. They're controlling all of this by money. If you read Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, you'll find all about how the Rothschilds and the rest of them figured out how to use money to rope in the entire masses of the world, and they have done a remarkable job, and you have to give credit where credit's due. We're going into a digital system, a cashless system, because it's much easier to control the people. If you don't want to go into the system, you starve to death, or you get your head cut off, I guess, if they catch you. Or you go to a FEMA camp or North Korea or wherever they want to send you. And they mean business. They mean to kill anybody that gets in their way. Protocol said that right out in the open. We'll kill you if you don't go along with what we're telling you to do. Unfortunately, the American people sat back and not paid any attention to it. And I still don't think they're paying any attention to it. Talk to your neighbor about some of this and they roll their eyes and look at you like you're crazy. It hasn't penetrated them yet. It won't, I don't think. What do you think, Larry? I think it's apathy that's causing a lot of this.
Yeah, it's amazing, Stuart. And what's more amazing than that is the fact that hardly anyone's prepared. Absolutely, hardly anyone is prepared for what really appears to be coming down the pike. And, you know, I'll tell you what, somebody that wrote really, really good books, I mean really good books, is Bobby Akert and the other guy, you know, that I put up, Mark Goodwin. And they wrote incredible books that I suppose hardly anybody reads. So nobody is not only they're not spiritually prepared, they're not physically prepared, and they're certainly mentally prepared, because I've kind of got a feeling, Stuart, if something doesn't change, that we're probably going to go into this overnight. Someday,
oh, I think so,
sometime,
too.
It's going to be overnight. In other words, you go to bed one night, the next minute you wake up, your whole life and everything around you, for as far as you can see or hear, has changed, and it will not change back. And I think that, if they told the truth, they'd say, a resounding no.
Yeah. Well, folks, I guess we've run out to the end of our show. Thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. And take care, everyone. And if you haven't prepared, do the best you can. At least get a month's supply of water, food, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be rough. Rough times are coming. Anyway, good night.